trying to make it go again.
Well, I don't have a, no, here we go. I mean, you turn it off and turn it back on, is that the idea here? Okay, let me try that. Well, we have, if you haven't noticed, one of the things we've been trying to do as elders is to emphasize, and I lose the little thing.
Yes, I got it, go talk to them.
Okay. What we want to do is disciple people as ourselves and others, and we want to move people to the right, and we're not talking politically. We're talking the idea we want to move the unsaved towards the cross and salvation. We want to move those who are saved further into sanctification and to grow in their walk with God. And so one of the things we've done all the way over time is with our youth pastor position, we've saying we need a youth pastor and we need that to happen, but we all want it to be more than that. We want to develop it into a family discipleship type of a ministry. And so that's our long-term goal as we seek to move in that direction. One of the components, I think, that fits into this is the character. Now, this is not my plan, okay? So Luke came to me and said, because I told him, I said, well, I'm willing to help. This sounds really good. I'm willing to help whatever you need to do. And he says, well, Dad, we worked on some of this stuff in our family, so can you introduce it? So that's okay. So what I'm going to do is introduce the program and try to give you a little background. As you notice, I've got construction here on character. Character is something that can be built. You don't have to leave it to chance. And so that's what we want to be, is to be intentional. So that's what we want to do in all our Christian walk. We want to be intentional in what we are doing as we grow in Christ and help each other move to the right in our growth in Him. So, first of all, what is character? So, character or virtue, they're interchangeable. A study of what character qualities people should strive for, habitual habits, make it a habit, to act, feel, and respond, and think in morally good ways. So that habitual, that takes practice. And then dozens of passages talk about personal character traits as Christians that we should show in our lives. 2 Peter 1:5, the Greek word there, and for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue or character. And that word is desirable traits that people should strive to incorporate into our own lives. So that's from Mr. Gruden, it's not mine. So what we are to live life that glorifies God, we know that. And in Ephesians 1:11-12, it says, in Him, according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of His will, we who first hope in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of His glory. And then the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, what is the man's primary purpose? You all know. Primary purpose to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And one of the ways that we do that is through becoming Christ-like in our character. In Romans 8:28-29, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So we are to be in Christ's image. We are to exemplify His character qualities. And then, and this is one of my favorite passages, 2 Peter 1:3-10. I put it all up there because it's all good. It's all good. But He called us to His own glory and excellence. He's provided His divine power so we can do it. And then it says, make every effort. So we are to work at doing this. We're to make every effort to develop this. So again, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, character, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, that's growth, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, it says, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. So, sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So God has called us to do this. And so the next question is, why should we, as individuals, families, and as a church, work together to encourage character development in ourselves and our children? So it's got to start with us and not just the kids. They need examples. So, as Christians, we're called to live together. As you know, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day drawing near. And of course, in John 13, 34 and 35, the mark of a Christian, I give you that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So why do we need to do this? Because the hearts and minds of our teens and children are being stolen from godliness. The world is defining character in unbiblical ways. They are calling good evil and evil good. They are brainwashing our children into thinking of themselves and others in ways that will result in harmful choices that will affect their view of themselves, God, their families, and others. The world says that we do not have to seek out godly character because we can be our own God. We determine our destiny, our lifestyle, our character, not God. And that is a lie. How can we counter this worldly propaganda and encourage one another and our children to live lives glorifying to God? By working together to develop Christ-like character in our lives and in the lives of our children. So, what is one way that we can practically do this? Remember, character is something that God empowers us. We're able to do it through his power. And he calls us to work at it. He calls us to be involved in it. He calls us to increase and grow in that character. So a practical way, and if you know me, I'm not all that practical. So you know this is not my plan. But if you've seen this in the bulletin, the sheet, this is basically the how we plan to work on this together, bring this together. So first of all, for families who want to participate, and my goal is to encourage all of you to participate, no matter who you are. For one, provide a character quality definition from a biblical perspective. And so that's what was on the top of the sheet there. In this one, it was love versus selfishness. So the world distorts character. It is important to have God's perspective on biblical character. And so that's what we'll try to do, is give you a different definition based on God's perspective, not on the world's. If you look up the dictionary, and I did this, I looked up love in the dictionary, if you look it up. If you look it through the definitions, almost all of them are self. Their emotion, you know, they're about my emotion, how I respond, if I like somebody or don't like somebody. And, you know, it's sex, of course, and everything. So it's got a lousy definition of love. The world does allow us a lousy perspective on love. It's basically more of a selfish desires than it is the love that God teaches us about. So it's important to have a good definition. This next, highlight that character quality on a monthly basis. So again, we have a sheet like this, very simple, gives you a character quality on that. The world mocks godly character. It's important to train our children to recognize what godly character is and stand against ungodly character. Since godly character is a choice, okay, God is a choice, something that we are called to pursue and develop. So we want to train our children, but in order to train our children, we have to train ourselves, because we have to exemplify it. As one of my former bosses used to say, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. That's right, I said that right. So if we don't exemplify it, don't expect the younger people to follow it. Three, provide devotional helps for understanding the depth of the character. So on the sheet, it's ask question on here. And these questions are to get us to think about, what does it really mean, in this case, to love someone? What does it really mean? And how does that work its way out in our life and in our life circumstances? So the world wants to control our children, and they ultimately want to control their behavior through the lies they tell them. And it's important to train our children to think deeply about biblical truth, and so they aren't deceived. They need to recognize truth. The best way to avoid error is to recognize truth, to be trained in it. Fourth, provide practical ideas to work out the character quality in your family's life. So on the other side, then, we have suggestions for different age groups on how to work this out. So what are some things that you can do to demonstrate godly love? Okay, what are some ideas? Okay, and this is where I always come up weak when I'm trying to do things. So this gives practical things that we can do with, your kids can do, we can do, I can do, you can do, we can do, and we can recognize and act and practice. Because remember, when Gruden, the definition I put up there of character and virtue, it's something we want to develop as a habit. And you develop habits by repeating, doing, and practicing. That's how you get good at it. So the world wants to control our children's behavior. It's important for our children to practice godly character so they will be able to make wise life choices. And of course, James 1:22 says, be not doers of the word, but do not be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. So we want to be doers of the word. Then fifth, we want to encourage. This is where we come together on this. We want to encourage, observe and encourage one another as we notice specific character qualities being practiced in each other, especially in our teens and children. So we want to catch people doing and acting, in this case, loving in the loving manners, in a biblically loving way. So we say, oh, you know, I can recognize it, or send them a short note, or well, there's ideas in here. So on how to do that, so that we observe each other and we again encourage that within a community. The world wants us to use social pressure to control our children. It is important to show our children by our example that they are not alone in the world, but that they are part of a counterculture community that is based on godly character, not the changing ideas of men. And that gets back to Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, where we are called to encourage one another to love and good works. And then, so what do you think? Will you choose to work together in creating a community dedicated to displaying, encouraging godly character development in yourself, where it always has to begin with myself, your family, and your church? Remember, by this, they will know we are Christians if we love one another. So, and again, love is just one character quality. There's a number of them. I think we had like 48 in our list or something. Now, some of you have some objections. You're going, oh, wait a minute. My children are all grown, so no problem. We got lots of kids in this church. You can encourage anyone you want. We got more than enough kids to encourage. You know, I'm just single, you know. Oh, that's okay. Lots of people older and younger than you need to be encouraged in doing these things. So it doesn't matter what age you are. You can be very young and you can encourage older people. You can be very old and encourage younger people and everything in between. It doesn't matter. Or you might say, I'm too young. Well, that goes with that one. I'm too busy. Oh, guess what? Character development's not optional for Christians. We're called to do it. We're told to do it. So this will help you out in your busy schedule. We can be working on this together, and it's just that way it's not an added thing onto what you're doing already. And all your other excuses, come on. Okay, see the one above. Character development is not optional, okay? So whatever your excuse is, plug it in there. It's not optional. And we need to think multi-generationally. This is something you've heard me say over and over again, is that we need to be discipling each other. The older need to be helping, encouraging, and discipling the younger. The younger need to be helping disciple their peers and anybody else. Yeah, younger is spiritually or whatever way. We can work together and think multi-generationally. So it doesn't matter if you're single. It doesn't matter what age you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter if your children are here or not here. It doesn't matter. We got lots of people here. Look at this group. Okay, we can encourage one another and we can do this together. So that's my challenge, an introduction on this. So, Luke, I'll turn it over to you and you can tell them where we're going with this from here. Okay.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, so I guess what we're really passionate about here at this church is it's great because this is a wonderful place, and I know this because I grew up here. It's a wonderful place to come and to hear God's word and to hear it taught faithfully, and I'm very thankful for that, and I'm sure you are too. But we also want to not just be hearers, but we want to be doers. It's especially important. I don't know if you've noticed this, but the world is crazier and crazier and crazier, it seems to me. And so it is more and more necessary for the world to see gospel contrast in our church community, in our church family. And we have talked about this before, but as a church family, when you came here and joined this church family, what that means is you have a responsibility to the church family, just like they have a responsibility to you. We are all called to, as Dad mentioned, to disciple one another together. I love that you went through the excuses, because there's no excuses, are there? It doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter what stage you are in life, you are called to disciple, disciple, of course, to disciple young people. The scriptures say that clearly. It says older women, disciple younger women, older men, disciple younger men. It directly says that. That's a direct command. And so that is something that should be important to us. And so what we want to do as a church leadership is we want to, to guide you in that direction and become a community of disciplers. It starts, at least at this point with us, it starts with encouraging godly character in our church family. And it's funny because we were talking about this, James and Brian and I were talking about this whole thing, and talking about the character the character qualities and the character focus that we're doing. We were also talking about this evening service, and we were saying to ourselves, well, what is an appropriate segue to go from there to the Lord's Supper? It actually is very natural, because doesn't matter what kind of character qualities we have without Jesus, right? We learned that earlier. James mentioned this in Ephesians, right? We are created for good works, but without Christ, if those works are not done in Christ Jesus, they're useless. As we talk about this character focus, I don't want us to lose focus and to get the idea in our heads that what we're encouraging is we need to be good people and do all the right things. That's not the point of what we're trying to encourage. It's like, was it you that said it? No, it was you that said it. It's the process of sanctification. Trying to follow Christ with our lives and with our church community. And the only person that makes that possible is Christ. And the only thing that makes that worth anything is the cross. I'm going to ask you to grab your